The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Today is July 3rd. 4th of July weekend. Hope you're all busy celebrating this long weekend. Hope the weather has been nice to you and that you've got plans both had plans yesterday, have plans today, and celebrating that extra special day on Monday. Well, we've got something extra special here on Dollars and Cents today. We have a special guest, and periodically we bring her into the studio to offer wisdom, intelligence, insight, and perspective that simply doesn't come out of my mouth. It's Marion Gilman is our guest host in studio today, my business partner and an important part of Friedman Financial. Marion, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Mark.
You're very welcome. We're going to talk about a bunch of things today. As you know, and I should probably be clear on this, just to be clear about this show today, we are not live in studio today. I'm making it sound like today is July 3rd, but we're actually taping this show a few days earlier. And the reason that I'm telling you this is because I don't know what the market is going to look like on Friday leading into this show. We've gone through some challenges over the past week or two with the new Brexit vote for British to exit the European Union. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's happened with all of that. And I'm going to ask Marion for some insights so you can get some perspective. As we're taping this today, it is Tuesday and the market is up 200 points, kind of rebounding back from what was a tough couple days that led to it. We got a few other things we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to handle all of this volatility, all this noise that you hear about in the marketplace. You're going to, whether you turn on your television, go to social media, listen to the radio, read your newspaper, whatever it is, people are talking about extremes. And I want to bring this situation back to life for you so that you understand that this is not extreme at all, to tell you the truth, in our opinion at least. And I'll give you some perspective on where everything is. Also, if we have time throughout the course of the show today, I've got some thoughts about Social Security. Social Security's come out with a recent announcement that we want to share with you, as well as talk about some of the myths that surround Social Security as well. So with all that said, before we get into our conversation, I want to remind you about a couple things. We put out our newsletter each and every Friday morning. It is called Planning Pointers. More than 6,000 people receive planning pointers at Friday at 10:30 in the morning, each and every Friday. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the page. You can click on the button, and you will get the newsletter that Marion and I put together each and every Friday. We do it ourselves. We don't use some outsourced, purchased newsletter. We build our own. And, of course, if you'd like to come in and talk with us to share your personal financial situation, to see if we can help you get serious about your financial planning, about your retirement plan, about what your future looks like, please give our office a call. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's gone on over the past couple of weeks. There's a bit of surprise in the news. I mean, Great Britain was facing a big decision to remain or to exit. And they voted exit. Marion, can you tell us a little bit about what this whole Brexit thing really means?
I would love to, except nobody really knows what it means long term. So, in fact, Great Britain voted to leave the European Union. They've been in the European Union. They were one of the founding members. And now they want to sever that relationship. That does not mean that they're not going to trade with the European Union, nor that they won't trade with the U.S. However, they will be leaving the European Union bloc, so the rules will be slightly different. Now, this could take a long time to actually happen. They have in the neighborhood of 2 years to do this. Although there's been talk since we knew about the vote on Friday morning, there's been talk that the European Union would like them to move quickly on negotiating how they're going to leave. So that's why nobody really knows what the terms will look like, because there is a lot of negotiation to happen now. One thing we do know is that the prime minister will be stepping down. So that will be a very big move in England for that to happen. There's also some rumblings in Scotland, because Scotland voted to stay in the European Union. So
as did
not...
Northern Ireland too, didn't they? Did Northern Ireland vote that way?
You know, Northern Ireland voted one way and Wales voted one way, and I can't remember which one voted to stay
myself.
Or leave. So I do, I want to qualify
Scotland.
That. But Scotland did vote to remain, and they're not happy at all with the fact that the others voted to leave.
So as we hear about, Scotland voting to remain, we hear that London proper, for the most part, voted to remain.
Right.
We hear that some of the bigger, whether it was Wales or
Northern
Ireland, Belfast, those areas, many of those voted pretty heavily to remain.
Correct.
So where did the people come from that voted to exit?
The countryside is what I understand. And so from what I've heard, but through listening to a lot of the news, many of the people in the remote areas of England were very heavily voted to exit. And again, these are people that don't have the same prospects for employment as they might have in London. They're not earning at the same salary levels that they might earn in London. And they were unhappy with the economic conditions, and they feel that, and also immigration, which they feel is a problem in England.
So maybe you can talk a little further about that. So why do you think people voted to exit? When you say, when you think about the people in the countryside, people that were voting to say, you know what, we don't want to be part of this anymore. What were they gaining from that?
Well, what they thought they were gaining, one of the rules of the European Union is that each member pays in a significant amount of money into the European Union each year, each quarter, however those payments work. And they felt like, well, if England didn't have to pay in to the European Union, then they could keep that money in England and use it for other purposes. And one of the purposes that was promoted that it was going to be used for were health care issues in England. Apparently, there's been some backsliding on that, so remains to be seen what will happen. The other big issue was immigration. And remember, the borders in the European Union, people can move freely among each of the countries. So there's no limitation as to where they live in the European Union. Many people in Great Britain felt like their jobs were being taken away by immigrants into the country. Whether that's true or not, who knows?
Right. That's similar to how it works here in the United States. I mean, we can move freely from Massachusetts to Rhode Island to Iowa to Florida to California without having to show a passport, without having to go through customs. And when the EU was established, it made it very easy to do that, to go from Great Britain to France, to Germany, to Portugal, to Spain, and jump all over the place.
And to, put down roots there. And don't forget that, in fact, people from Great Britain can also do that to other countries. And as a matter of fact, many people in England retire to the southern coast of Spain. So there's an enormous immigrant population in Spain from England. But, again...
But these are generally retirees.
That's correct.
And so maybe you can tell the story that you shared with me a couple days ago about some of the challenges that retiree who was living in Great Britain, who's no longer living in Great Britain, from Great Britain and is now living in Spain, some of the challenges that they're going to face with this decision.
Well, it's questionable now whether or not they will have the same access to health care in other European nations, because if they're no longer a member of the EU and paying into the pool, will they have that ability to get health care, the same health care in Spain that they were able to get in Great Britain? Also, do they have any issues with their pension that might be paid from Great Britain using it if they're an expatriate living in another country? Once again, all of these are unknowns. It could be negotiated very favorably. On the other hand, you know, whether or not the European Union wants to negotiate favorably with Great Britain at this point, you know, may not be the case. You know?
It seems to be that there's going to be a lot of issues to have to resolve, a lot of contracts, a lot of renegotiations that are going to have to go through. And thinking that rushing through this process, I don't know how quickly people are going to actually... Have you ever seen government do anything quickly? Certainly here.
Right. And don't forget, I mean, Great Britain will now have to renegotiate their trade contracts with all other nations as well, not only with the EU member countries, you know, 47 countries that belong to the EU now, but also with the U.S., because we don't have a direct contract with trade contract with England. It's now with the European Union, and they follow the same rules.
And it seems to me that with a change in leadership, and that's what's going to come into play too.
Right.
I mean, how much preparation was put in the works already leading up to this vote, planning for an exit? I think most of the people in leadership expected to remain.
And I believe the majority of parliament were in favor of remaining.
Right.
I'm not sure of the exact figures, but I thought it was like 70% or so.
So when you think about the work that needs to be done to exit, and all the negotiations that have to follow through, how much work has already been laid out beforehand?
I don't believe there's a lot of groundwork that has been laid, because I do think that most people expected, and truthfully, you know, everybody up until the vote actually happened was predicting Remain.
So the reality is the vote comes through and surprises us with this exit announcement.
Right.
Market reacts unfavorably.
And that's because it was a surprise.
That's really the real reason.
Truthfully,
right?
that's truly the reason. Because that's at a point 2 weeks ago, there was some talk about, oh, well, perhaps the exit people are gaining ground, and perhaps they are going to exit. And the market started to become volatile. The week before the leading up to the vote, everybody was very, you know, everybody thought, I should say, that they were going to remain. So the market improved dramatically. All of a sudden, they voted to leave, and that was just a huge surprise. And the market does not like surprises,
no,
as
don't.
We all know.
And nor do you like to be surprised as an investor who's participating in the stock market, who's planning for your retirement, who's trying to put money aside for your future. We don't like surprises. But at the end of the day, I think this is just another blip on the radar. This is something that will, it's a short-term issue that's going to hold some attention for a while, just like China did. Just like Greece did, just like all of the other events, 9/11, whatever you want to use as your event that was a blip on the screen, over time the market pulls back and then it responds positively. I think when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about what comes next. Now that we've all of a sudden the market has pulled itself back, what comes next? What do we look forward to? What do we prepare for? What are some of the things that we should be doing from a positioning standpoint, from a conversation standpoint, from a thinking standpoint about what this Brexit decision really means to all of us? We'll talk about that and more. I'm here with my business partner, Marion Gilman. We're talking Brexit and so much more right here on Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we provide financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area, or those who, frankly, have had roots in this area as well. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to these individuals and families since 1968. No, not me. I was two then. My father started the firm all the way back then, but we have been continuously providing that advice for almost five decades. In fact, April of 2018, we will be celebrating our 50th anniversary of providing honest, authentic, genuine financial planning to individuals and families right here. So if you'd like to work with a firm who has a long legacy and a long history of providing that financial advice to families, to individuals, to generations and generations, all done on an independent basis with certified financial planner professionals who are dedicated to placing your interests first, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'd be happy to schedule a complimentary initial consultation for you in our office. If you'd like to talk to us beforehand, you can certainly give us a call, chat with myself or my business partner, Marion Gilman. We're both CFP professionals, and Marion's in the studio here with us today because we're talking a little bit about Brexit, a term that probably never rolled off your tongue just 2 weeks ago, but now it seems to be the term that everybody wants to talk about. So when we last left, we were talking about the implications of what Brexit has really meant to Great Britain. Not really what it means to us, because, you know, all we've seen is just a market reaction more than anything else. But one of the questions that was raised during the break was, can this decision be overturned? Can we change the decision? What if we said, I'm not sure if I like it? Because in fact, one of the most fascinating things that we learned about was that the day after Brexit was passed, the number one searched question on Google was, who is the EU and what is the EU? That's the number one search thing by people that lived in Great Britain. And they just voted on something. They didn't even know what it was. And so now people are realizing what happened. People are asking, I did vote to exit, but if I had the chance to vote again, I might want to vote to remain. You think that'll ever happen, Marion?
I think it's unlikely from what I've been listening to. It could happen, I believe. From what I've heard, this is not a binding resolution. It is a referendum. However, politically, the people have spoken. So the representatives don't want to overturn that decision. So it seems like it will go ahead. Where they do have a lot of flexibility in is in how it actually proceeds and what the terms of the negotiations are. So it could be that the terms are more favorable. It could be that it takes a longer time to exit. So all of that is subject to question. From what I've heard, it's likely that the vote will remain.
I think the vote will remain. Do you think, though, that there may be some negotiation to find some common ground in some of the real sticking point issues?
That could very well happen. I actually don't think they know what the sticking point issues are right now, to tell you the truth, in terms of exiting. What are those going to be?
But from a market standpoint, we've seen the market pull back. What was it? They said, I love how they always want you to focus on the S&P 500, yet they'll tell you that the Dow pulled back almost 900 points in the past couple of days.
Right.
It always fascinates me what the media chooses to use as their terminology to scare you.
Right.
But I would imagine that the market is reacting to the Brexit decision at the most extreme level of what it would create by leaving this EU.
And yes, absolutely. And also they're reacting to the fact that it's unknown. It's such an unknown commodity. Like, what could actually happen? What most people don't look at is, realistically, Great Britain is a very small country. They don't represent a huge part of GDP in the world. I believe it's less than 3%.
What is, for our listeners, what does GDP mean?
That is gross domestic product. So that's the output of your country, how much you produce and sell in the country and to exports. So it's not a huge piece of the world economy, let's put it that way. It's an important piece. And this vote is an extremely important component, and it could create big problems for a very small country. But it likely won't cause big problems for the world in general. That's, that's the viewpoint. So it likely won't cause big problems for the U.S. why U.S. stocks, reacting the way they are? Because people just don't know. And they think, you know what? It's better to get out and sit on the sidelines and see what happens, and then I'll get back in. Because emotionally, that's what they're thinking. The market's plummeting, and they listen to this on the news. The market's plummeting. I got to get out. I got to get out. I got to sell. Everybody else is selling. I better do that too. And they're not thinking of it logically that, you know, it could be relatively minor for most of the companies in the S&P 500 or in the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
I'm joined by Marion Gilman, my business partner here at Friedman Financial. On our show today, Marion is offering some perspective here on what's going on with the Brexit vote following the vote for Great Britain to Brexit, to exit, I guess. You know, one of the things that you mentioned the word the extreme superlatives that are used in the media. We've heard them certainly last Friday and Monday of this past week, where the market dropped the Dow dropped about 800 points. But in reality, from a percentage standpoint, it was what, down 5 collectively, 5 or 6%?
Right. I believe it was down around 3% on Friday, a little over 3, and then about 2% yesterday.
Yeah, correct. I mean, so in the whole scheme of things, that is not a tragic situation. I mean, look, in 2007, 2008, the market's dropped 45, 50%.
Well, and the other thing you should look at, and what we reminded clients of on Friday, on Thursday before the vote, the market was up 1.5%.
That's right.
So it was down 3 the following day, but, you know, it's not that... Not that it's, you know, not unsettling to see that happen in the stock market. However, you do need to keep it in perspective.
But it kind of goes to this question of a lot of people figure, all right, well, time to get in, time to get out. Does market timing work?
We've never seen anybody who's been a successful market timer.
Is that something, you know, never seen anybody in our office or anybody seen it?
I don't believe anybody has seen anybody who's a professional trader or not be a successful market timer. Because remember, you need to know when to get in and when to get out. So you need to be right twice. Sure, you know, you might say, well, gee, I think it's a good idea maybe not to buy at the top of the market. I think, you know, then we might see some volatility, maybe your dollar cost average, so you take advantage of some of those lower points in the market. Are you ever going to hit the exact low? I highly doubt it. Are you ever going to sell out at the exact high? Once again, highly doubt it. And what usually happens for most people is they get out at the low and in at the maybe not at the high, but, you know, as it's going up.
And yet everybody continues to ask, should I be getting out? Or what has to happen for the market to suggest in the marketplace to suggest to you, Marion, or myself, we need to get out of everything?
Has nothing to do with what happens in the marketplace. It has everything to do with your personal needs. If there is money that you have invested in the market that you're going to need within the next year or two, it shouldn't be invested in the market. That's the bottom line. So when you say, should I get out? Absolutely. If you're going to need that money, you shouldn't take the risk of what might happen in a year. If that money is long-term money, you should just ignore what might happen in a year.
And what's long-term, Mary? What do you figure is long-term?
Long-term, anywhere from, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, even 3 or 4 years. You know, it depends. If you have a well-balanced portfolio and you've got enough for your short-term needs, then your other monies could easily be, with an appropriate allocation, could easily be invested in
that. And when we're saying long-term, I think one of the things that gets lost in that conversation is when you're investing for the long-term, are you looking to invest to a period of time where you're going to cash out that account and use all of the money? I think a lot of people think about long-term where they say, all right, I have $100,000 to invest. I'd like it to grow. And in 3 years, 5 years from now, I might want to take income from it, or I might want to take a little bit of money from it. Now, you know, so your long term is a lot longer than you might even thought.
Absolutely.
Because like, think about an IRA account.
Right.
Even if you're 60 years old today, you have money in your IRA and you say, oh, well, when I hit 70 and a half, oh my goodness, I have to take my minimum distribution. It doesn't mean you're cashing out your IRA account. You could last till 100 plus. But you're only taking a small amount out.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when you look at the 30-year horizon, you need growth in your account. If you think about what things cost 30 years ago, Certainly not the same as what it costs today.
But if you're young and you're in your 20s or 30s and you have $30,000, $40,000 around and you say, geez, I'd like to buy a house in a couple of years. That's when you're basic. That's when people are thinking, well, I'm going to invest my money 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road. I'm going to cash out this whole thing so I can buy a house. I don't know how aggressive somebody wants to be in planning like that.
That's right. I mean, that would be a much, much more risky environment to say if you needed every cent of that money in 2 years or 3 years. You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable saying, let's put it all in the market. That would not be the case. And also, I mean, the other thing when going back to looking at retirement assets, as you move towards retirement, you're going to become more conservative in your mix of investments, but you're not going to cash out. So again, there are different styles of investing and, you know, stocks versus bonds that will dictate how your money's, you know, are positioned and how much volatility and risk is inherent in that.
And that's
portfolio.
Really it. I mean, the idea of spreading your money around over several different what they call asset classes. Now, there could be stocks, bonds, and cash, but you can break it all down even further than that. And we do when we're working with our clients, of course.
Absolutely.
It's not when you say, okay, I have a 60% allocation to the stock market. That doesn't mean that we've put 60% of your money into the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the S&P 500. There could be money in some of the more established companies, the blue chips of the world, some smaller companies like the, I always use Buffalo Wild Wings as a small cap fund. Not that I would invest in Buffalo Wild Wings. And we're using mutual funds when we're talking about this, mutual funds and exchange traded funds. And of course, there's risks that go up and down with all of those. But I think your risks are certainly much more spread out in mutual funds than they are in individual stocks. We look at international securities, and that has seen some ups and downs as well. So you have to put it all into perspective. And I think that's a critical thing that we do in our investment strategies. And we want to talk a little bit more about that, because I think as we talk about this whole Brexit conversation and this another blip on the roadmap of investing, we have to think about what is the appropriate investment strategy for you. Does it make sense to start adding money to stocks? Does it make sense to add money to bonds or bond funds or stock funds or whatever it might be? Should we be in international securities? Where was the best place to be? And frankly, if now you're faced with having some cash on the sidelines, maybe you're retiring from your job and need to make a decision on your rollover, how do you put that money to work? Well, when we get back, we're going to show you how to deploy all of that. I have Marion Gilman, my business partner, certified financial planner, in studio with me. She's the one that makes the investments decisions in the office, and she is going to pull back the curtain and share with you how she makes those decisions when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Poppins, the Disney classic, flies into Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater with a spoonful of sugar and a whole lot of magic. This irresistible musical is a fresh fountain of youth that will make many a grown-up feel like a kid again. The quintessential nanny comes to life on stage with Chim Chim Cheree, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and Step in Time. Mary Poppins is certain to captivate audiences of all ages, only at North Shore Music Theater from July 12th through the 31st. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Beverly Hospital, a member of Leahy Health.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. I'm joined by my business partner today, Marion Gilman, also a certified financial planner, and she holds her MBA as well. Marion's been with us for almost 17 years, 16 years?
Yes,
what do you think?
16.
16. It'll be in July is what, 16 or 17?
June is 16.
June is 16. Well, I come close. It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
It has been.
Yeah, and Marion and I are the two people that meet with clients when they come into our office. For those of you that are listening to the show that know Marion, you know how much our clients just absolutely adore the advice and the time, patience that she has for all of them. And she's been a great addition to our firm. And we love having her as my business partner here in the office. Well, we're not in the office today. I'm in the studio today. But you know what I mean, in the office. At any rate, I made a promise to you when we got back that Marion was going to pull back the curtain and really begin to tell you about how we are approaching investing money in not just the Brexit environment that we're in today, but how do we approach investing money in volatile times? I think we can all be certain that this Brexit thing will pass. People will figure out what's going on, or at least have a better sense of uncertainty. But then there'll be something else. Maybe it'll be the presidential election. Maybe it'll be a terrorist attack. Maybe it'll be a poisoning.
There's always
something's going to happen. It could be an earthquake. It could be a currency devaluation. Always going to be something. But more than anything else, we know that over time, America proves itself time and time again of its stability in getting through difficult economic times. The most difficult was, of course, 2007-08 during the Lehman Brothers period of time. But I think they've really cleaned that up. And especially with Brexit making its decision coming out now, we've seen that the U.S. economic system has really held itself up, despite the fact that it's cheaper to travel in Europe, it's cheaper to travel in Great Britain and all of those other places as well.
So there are positive
things. There are. That's right. That is something of positive. If you're planning a trip to Europe or to Great Britain this year, what advice would you give to people, Marion?
I would tell you that the dollar is going to go a lot farther, we think, if it holds up. But I got to tell you, it's pretty low right now. So if you have a choice between paying for your hotel now or later, I might jump on it.
If you could pay for your hotel in euros.
Then again, I am going to London in the fall, and I haven't paid for my hotels yet. So I probably should get on that. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, would you pay for, if you had the option, would you pay in euros right now or pay in dollars?
Oh, I'd pay in euros.
Pay in euros. Yeah. Now, it's difficult to do that in some places. I think we were talking about that.
Right.
But if you can do it in euros, if you have euros,
yeah, right,
you got to have them too.
There you go.
All right. Well, let's talk more about this market thing, because I think one of the misunderstood realities of what's happened over the past week, month, year, in fact, even 2 years, where was the best place to invest your money? What was the best place to invest your money, Marion, right, over the past couple of years? When you think about stocks, bonds, and cash.
Bonds.
Well, yes, you got the answer right. I know you know the answer to that question.
I do.
But it's fascinating.
And it's something that everybody has told you, don't buy bonds.
For the past five years, probably.
Interest rates are low. Don't invest in bonds. That's a terrible place to be.
In fact, if you owned a 30-year bond
at the
beginning of this year, a U.S. Treasury 30-year bond at the beginning of this year, you're up 8% through July, as of July 3rd.
It is amazing.
If you owned a short-term bond. No, a long-term bond, high quality. And even low-quality bonds that are 30 years out, that's up almost 15%. I mean, it's amazing how much these bonds have gone up. That's what I'm looking here at the chart here. 30-year low-quality bonds. I mean, you could be up as much as 15%. Now, I'm not telling you to go buy that. I'm not saying that. But folks, you got to remember, there's an important reason why we put money in stocks and into bonds. We can't let the media drive our decisions. Would you not agree?
That is absolutely true. You shouldn't, you know, one of the basic principles of investing is nobody knows what's going to happen in the market, in the stock market, in the bond market. Nobody thought that interest rates were going lower when they hit 2% on the 10-year bond, 10-year U.S. Treasury bond, 2%. They thought, oh, it's never going to go lower than that. Well, guess what? It did. Went down to 1.7%, lowest in history, and now it's to 1.5%.
It wasn't supposed to go lower. Everyone's been, for the past few years, they said the Fed's going to raise interest rates,
that's
right?
That's exactly right. And the Fed did raise interest rates, a quarter of a point in December. But guess what? Interest rates have still gone down. So, you know, it doesn't follow what everybody thinks is going to happen. The market will always do the opposite.
Yeah, the worst person to listen to are the talking heads on television.
Right.
If you follow their advice, you're likely to head in the other direction. And in fact, I mean, we've talked about the fact that economists, some of the most prominent economists in the world, who are paid millions and millions and millions of dollars, generally get it right 40% of the time, 50% of
and
the time.
And that's good.
That's
considered
great,
good.
Well, if David Ortiz can hit 336 or 380 I mean, whatever he's hitting, that's supposed to be the best. I mean, Ted Williams, who hit 400, was amongst the best hitters in the world, getting it right 40% of the time. Is that good enough for you? I mean, I think we all kind of expect that if you're hiring a financial advisor, they're going to get it right 80% of the time. Not going to happen. But we are going to try to minimize all of the noise out there to try to bring everything back down to a slower roller coaster. And that's what we want you to be on.
You also need to understand what your risk tolerance is. How much of that volatility can you withstand? Because one of the most important factors with investing is you have to be willing to ride out the volatility. If you're not willing to do that, and although we say that bonds have, you know, gone up incredibly this year, for a bond to do that is almost unheard of, to go up 15%. For bonds to go up that much, don't forget that there have been times when bonds are also down. And once again, from the other perspective, people think, oh, well, you can't lose money on a bond. You can lose money on a bond. That is definitely a problem with bonds. So you can lose money, you can make money on a bond. But you have to be willing to ride out those times of volatility as well. Because if you sell when things get bad, if you have that tendency and say, I can't stand it any longer, you're never going to be able to withstand get to the good times either.
I'm sitting in studio with my business partner, Marion Gilman, who's providing us some advice and perspective on investing, on Brexit, and a lot of other things that are going on in the world today. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation with Marion and I in our office in Peabody, Massachusetts, we are available pretty much when you need us. But we're open during the week, Monday through Friday, of course, 8:30 to 5 are our business hours. An opportunity to schedule an initial consultation comes at no cost to you. All we do is we ask that you give the office a call. Talk to us first. We'll send you out an information kit. There's no obligation for you to sign on to do anything. Just come out and meet us. Phone number 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Hey, if you also like what you hear on the radio, I'd encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website, hit that little button down at the very bottom, and it'll say sign up for Mark's newsletter or sign up for Planning Pointers, I think it says. And all you need to do is put in your email address and boom, you get the email. So is that easy, Marion?
That's easy.
Did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
All right, good. Well, we're sitting here in studio talking about some of the challenges that investors are facing right now as they wonder, geez, how should I go about putting this money to work? Maybe I'm retiring from my job. Maybe I have a rollover. Maybe I'd like to change financial advisors. Maybe I want to make a move and do something. I just don't know what the right strategy is. So, Mary, we're sitting in a situation right now where we've got a bunch of clients, many people who've listened to this radio show, frankly, that have decided to leave their financial advisor. They're thinking about retiring from their current place of employment, and they have an old 401k to roll over. And they're asking us, what is the right strategy to put that money to work? What's the kind of advice that we're providing to them now, Mary?
Well, we tend to be a conservative investment firm for people who are very close to retirement because they're going to need that money. And many of our clients, depending upon their risk tolerance, will not want to take all of their money and put it to risk all at once in the stock market.
When you say put it to risk in the stock market, what do we mean by that?
Well, as we said before, the stock market can be very volatile. We've had an incredibly good run in the stock market from the March of 2009, if you recall, when things were really, really rough. It turned around, and we've had wonderful positive returns over the past 5-6 years. Last year, it was sort of an iffy year. This year has been very volatile, and we do expect there'll be more volatility as well. So if you took all of your money today and stuck it in stocks, you could see that money's go up and down over the near term. A more conservative strategy would be to dollar cost average into the market. And we like to take that approach with people who have less risk tolerance and who also are closer to retirement. So you might take 10% of your money and put it in every month for 10 months. You might take, 25% of your money, put it in every month for 4 months, depending upon how quickly you want to get it invested. But you take that kind of an approach. And the other very important consideration when investing in stocks and bonds is you want to have diversification. That's extremely important. Your mother always told you, don't put all your eggs in one basket, and it's important for investing as well as everything else.
And when you think about diversification, and we use the term stocks and bonds, but are we talking about individual stocks and individual bonds, Marion?
Or we use mutual funds. So we are big proponents of mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, which hold a basket of securities. So if they hold 100 stocks in that portfolio and one of those stocks goes bankrupt, you're not even going to notice it in your account, because it's such an insignificant piece of your portfolio. However, if you held one stock individually and it went bankrupt, that's a big loss for you.
And, well, it's a great perspective. I mean, that is something that we have employed for years. I mean, I think people hear the term investing in stocks and they think they have to buy Yahoo or Alibaba or Dell or whatever they have to buy. When you're working with a financial, at least certainly through our office, where we take this much more conservative approach, it's a collection of mutual funds, a collection of exchange-traded funds. Of course, there's risk. Of course, those accounts can go up and down, and there are prospectuses that are made available, of course, to anybody that wants them, so you can really read the fine print. But every investment that we choose has a particular purpose for it in your portfolio. And one of the other things that we look to do, certainly, as we focus on placing the interest of our clients first, we're looking at some of the lowest cost investments that are out there.
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong, if you're a young person and looking to invest monies, you're 25, 30, 40 years old, you can take that risk. You don't need to dollar cost average. You don't need to invest in bonds. You can buy a good quality mutual fund or ETF that invests 100% in stocks and just let that money ride. Once again, don't watch it through the ups and downs, but let it go.
All right, so we've got to take a quick break. We've got one last segment coming up. I want to share with you, Marion and I are going to share with you something when we get back. It's called How to Sleep Well in Retirement. I want you to think about that. Light of the recent Brexit decision, light of the recent volatility that we've had, and the volatility has not been that bad, folks. But just understanding the things that you can do to control how you can sleep well at night and things that are, frankly, out of your control. We're going to talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Don't have enough time to go to the gym? Grab your phone and download Bench Bro, the hottest finger-tapping fitness app.
With Bench Bro, you'll test your reflexes, your concentration, and your finger tapping skills as Bench Bro helps you achieve your virtual dream physique.
This is a fitness resolution you can finally keep. Download our free app, Bench Bro, today.
Bench Bro.
Available on the App Store
and Google Play.
No membership required.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I am here in studio. Well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. I'm in the studio, but today is not July 3rd from where I'm talking from. It's July 3rd as you're listening, of course. I don't want to screw up your date. Yes, you are. If you had plans for July 3rd, today is July 3rd. Don't miss your plans, and tomorrow is July 4th. But we are here in studio a few days early today, taping this show, and we've been talking about Brexit. We've been talking about the market volatility. We've been talking about things that are to come. So I want you to understand that even though you're listening to the show today, Sunday, the market may have changed a little bit in the few short days between what we're talking about and what's happening right now. But in the long run, this is all great, solid, very positive advice to guide you along the way. And one thing that we wanted to talk with you about today, as I sit here with my business partner, Marion Gilman, where we're providing you financial advice in a language you can understand, we want to try to help you sleep well in retirement, because there are certain things that you can control about your personal finances and certain things that you can't control. And so we want to talk about those things so that the next Brexit that comes, the next Greece, the next China, the next whatever it might be, you begin to take a couple steps back, not let the talking heads in the media scare you to death, not let the social media posts that you see scare you and make you worry and make you frustrated. Relax. The reason that you built your investment portfolio was for the long term. Unless you stuck all of your money in the mattress, it's very likely that your account values are going to go up and they're going to go down. In fact, you probably have forgotten that it was the end of January of this year when the markets opened up almost down 10%. The Dow Jones Industrial was trading in the 15,000s. That's not the case today, is it? Well, I don't know, unless the market crashes like some 2,000 points in the next 3 days, which I'm not expecting it to do. Because remember, we're taping today. I'm taping on Tuesday. The show is on Sunday. But the markets are designed to respond, to rebound, to make adjustments. They overreact in bad news.
It's the participants that overreact.
That is right. They do. And with huge fanfare, the larger the noise you can make, the larger the noise you can make as a talking head on television, the more popular you're going to be. If you say, look, I think this market's going at 2,000. Do you know how many people would invite you on their radio show, on their television show? Same with the person that says, I think this market's going to 100,000. Well, I'll tell you, I'll make a bold suggestion and say, I think the Dow is going to 20,000.
Someday.
But I mean, but think about it. For the Dow to go to 20,000 right now, the market has to increase 15%. That's all it is. It's not a very bold prediction. At 18,000, if the market was at 18,000, 10% of 18,000 is 1,800. That would take us to 19,800. So say 15% is going to get you to 20,000. That's not that hard. But no one will talk about the 20,000. They're always going to talk about the downside. We have to manage risk, but we have to let you sleep well at night. So Marion, one of the things maybe you can share with some of these folks, what are some of the things that people can control that, besides all the noise that we hear, is that relates to their personal financial situation? What are some of the things that they can control, that they have total control of?
One of the things that you have total control over is how much you spend.
And is that a problem with many?
It can be, absolutely. So it's extremely, and when we deal with a lot of people who are either very close to retirement or in retirement. And since we have been around for a long time, we have clients that have lived in retirement for, I had a couple in this morning, they've been living off their assets for 23 years now. So we see,
and they
this,
haven't run out?
And they have not run out. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. So we see this all the time. The people who are most successful in their retirement are those who control their spending, who live within their means.
And I think controlling the spending is a real important term. I mean, there's people that like to favor their grandchildren, their children. They like to spend money and dote, and that's fine.
We don't care how you spend it.
As long as you have your spending under control.
Exactly.
Under your control, not just
that's
frivolously
correct.
Throwing the money away.
That's correct. And does that mean you have to know where every cent goes? Absolutely not, because that can be just very tedious. But you do need to know what the logical amount for you to spend each month is, and stay within those constraints.
Great advice. What else can people do to control, that they have control over when it comes to their personal financial situation?
And, leading up to retirement, you can control how much you save. And that's another key issue. If you've saved continuously, if you start young and save aggressively when you're young, you're so much better off when you reach that retirement.
And saying you're going to save rather than doing the saving are two different things. I mean, I talk about my daughter. I told you about my daughter, Mindy, who has a summer job this year. And she says, Daddy, it's my intention to save $2,500 this summer. But she can't seem to figure out how to do it because there's commuting costs to travel into Boston, and she has to spend money. She just thought, oh, well, I'm going to make all this money for the summer, and I'll just be able to save some of it. It doesn't work that way. You have to have a plan to save money.
And usually the best advice is pay yourself first. So have that money go into a savings account immediately from your checking account or from your check, from your paycheck. If you don't see it, you won't spend it.
Now, a lot of people will ask us, is there a recommended amount that you should have going from your paycheck to your savings account?
It depends on you.
Exactly. I mean, many people say, you'll read about the fact, well, I should save 10%, I should save 20%, but I can't do that, so I won't do any. The whole point is do something. Pay yourself first with something.
Right.
And when you're going to save, there's a difference between saving and investing.
Correct.
Saving means you're going to put money aside for maybe a short period of time and you're going to use it to pay for a vacation or maybe use it for something. Investing means we're putting it aside for a longer period of time.
Right. And if you can, you know, always take advantage of your 401k at work, particularly if there's a match, because if not, you're giving away free money. So
what are some of the other things that people can control as they prepare for retirement, Mary?
Well, you can certainly control how your monies are invested. And that can become very important. Right now, I mean, let's say 5 years ago, there were many retired individuals who lived off CDs at the bank or interest at the bank. When interest at the bank was 4 or 5%, you could routinely get that. That's not a bad return. You had $100,000 at the
unbelievable return.
Right now we'd kill for that, right? You had $100,000 at the bank. You got $5,000 a year. You know, that was actually something to say every month, you know, something to spend every month. That doesn't happen anymore. So if you're going to rely on the bank to give you income, you're going to just eat away at your principal, or you're not going to have any money to spend. So if you have a well-designed asset allocation and you stick with it, a well-designed investment plan and you stick with it, that will actually
And I think we all know that there are plenty of studies that have been done that say the asset allocation that you structure for your portfolio is far more important than the individual securities that you select within it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as you don't have anything, you know, individual stocks that are, you know, where you have 50% of your money in one stock, which is very risky.
All right. So we've talked about some things that are within our control as we plan for our retirement. What are some of the things that are out of our control?
Well, you can't control the market, can you?
No, we can't.
Yeah. So once again, you want to avoid having to sell into a very bad market when if the market has declined. Let's say back in February when we saw the market down over 10%, you don't want to have to sell at that time. You want money set aside for an emergency fund if anything comes up. You want monies in consistent either dividend payers or bonds that are more secure where you can get money if the market is down.
I just find it fascinating that we spend more time, whether it's on this radio show, as you're sitting in a coffee shop, around the table for Thanksgiving, perhaps at a barbecue this 4th of July, you will spend way more time talking about the things that you cannot control than the things that you can control. It is so easy for us to blame others.
So how much fun is it to talk about how much you save every year?
It isn't
fun. You know,
fun.
It's not exciting to talk about that.
But forgetting about the markets, I mean, it's gossip, right? I mean, how much more fun is it to talk about the things that you're doing right now rather than to gossip about others? Now, I know that's not the right thing to do, but that's what we do. And when we gossip, we're making up stuff. We're speculating. Right. We don't know the facts. We don't know the whole story. But we seem to enjoy so much more spending time talking about the things that are beyond our control. Could we lose weight? Could we lose more weight? Could we eat healthier? Could we exercise better? Of course we could. Those are things that are within our control.
But maybe you don't want to, because then you live longer and you need more money.
That's exactly right. Because those are some of the things that you have some control over.
Right.
One of those things that you do have some control over, of course, is how long you're going to live.
That's right.
And
that's right.
How long you're going to live a lot of times has to do with exercise and eating well.
And diet and not smoking, things like that. Yeah,
Other things that you have control over, some control, is employment and earnings.
And how long you work.
That's right. I mean, some people will just say, well, at 66, I'm done. Well, that's nice. Well, if you don't have the resources to support yourself for the next 30 plus years, because remember, when you retire, retiring means 30 plus years probably. I mean, that's what we're certainly factoring in, right?
Sure.
At least. Yet when Social Security was started back in 1934 or 35, life expectancy was in the late 60s.
I think it was 65, actually, yeah, at the time. That's why you could claim Social Security benefit at 65, because that was the life expectancy.
Yeah, it was not expected to pay Social Security benefits for 30 years.
Certainly not.
And speaking of Social Security, one thing that might be of interest to the group, it has been announced, though it's not official yet, if you were hoping for an increase to your Social Security check for 2017, Marion, you want to give the good news?
Well, I think it could be very minimal. That's what they're saying. It's likely. Last year was zero. I had heard.
Oh, so we get a bonus. So it's up this year. It looks like that if you have a check.
0.4% maybe?
0.2.
0.2, okay.
Yeah, so if you are collecting a check for $1,000, your check could potentially increase to $1,002. $2, that's the amount of money. Remember the old TV show that Better Off Dead, the paper boy was yelling, $2! Pay me my $2. That's what you'd pay for the newspaper to be delivered.
Well, the bad, even worse news is it will probably all go to Medicare anyways.
It probably
because
will.
Medicare will usually increases by more than 0.2%.
So we have to once again focus on the things we can control.
Correct.
Not worry about the things we can't. The things we can't control, the movement of the stock market, the decision of Brexit, what happens in Greece, what happens in whether it's hurricanes, natural disasters, whatever it might be. We can't control those things. What we can control, we can control how we save our money. We can control how we spend our money. We can control the asset allocation of our portfolio. We can also control the work that we do, how long we choose to work, how hard we choose to work. And by eating well, exercising, we might even be able to control our own longevity. So a lot of stuff to think about today. We're up against the clock. And I want to thank my business partner, Marion Gilman, for being with us today. Marion, thanks so much for being part of this.
My pleasure.
And I love having you on the show. I mean, it makes my life so much easier. I don't have to, like, sit here and talk to a wall. And our producer here, Tony, really
but
likes
you're
it,
so
too.
Good but, at it.
Yeah, what, talking to a wall?
Talking.
We have a good time, though. And I'm sure we'll have you back. If you'd like to hear Marion on the radio more often, why don't you drop me an email? Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com, and say, Mark, we need Marion on the radio way more often. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We got to get out of here. Have a wonderful rest of the 4th of July. We'll be back again next weekend. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.